Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.
Welcome in to Football 52 with UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. I am Brady Hull. Coach, you and I were just talking a little bit before the podcast just about all the things going on in college athletics. It seems like every day there's a new proposal, there's a new idea, there's a new scheme, there's a new regulation pitch or rule pitch, whether it's football, whether it's basketball. And as a sports talk show host, it's fascinating to me because there's always content. But for you, like, there's always movement, or there's always potential movement, I guess, going forward when it comes to changes in the NCAA.
Yeah, exciting times. I mean, I think that's kind of always existed, where good coaches, good programs, good administrators are able to kind of push the envelope up to the spirit or the letter of the law and take advantages. And so I think that exists now, but it's so sped up.
Yeah.
And so I think you've seen coaches. I mean, I think like Nick Saban is one of them where they're just like, they're giving up and I'm out, you know, and Steve Sarkisian went on a big kind of tirade the other day and kind of complaining about what's going on. And they're making a lot of good points. Like there are a lot of things that are broken and not in the best interest of player development and these young men being at a developmental time in their lives. Like there are a lot of problems right now, but there are a lot of opportunities too for those that are willing to kind of fight the fight, find opportunities. We're, you know, the whole and the big ones, right? The NIL, the transfer portal. We have deliberately set ourselves up on a unique path for how to build a football program at UNC. And it's going to be really interesting. Like I don't think the proof is there yet. You know, maybe this is the season where we prove that we're doing it right, or all the other teams prove that we're doing it wrong. You know, but we're trying to find our niche in a new, in a new era where things exist that did not exist before.
Now, you as a head football coach, a Division I football coach, there's always pressure. There's pressure every year. You and I have talked a lot about that, the wins, the losses, even when you got your first win. I remember that was an amazing conversation where you got that first win. It was against Weber State, mm-hmm. right? And it was Weber State was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost a moment of, wow, that's great, but we got to go do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, it takes so much. Everybody's got to be pulling in the right direction to get this thing right. Do you feel like with all this movement going on, is there even more of an extra sense of pressure now to, you got the lights coming, you know, it's time to catch up, make sure, you know, you're not only competitive within your conference, but you're doing big things. You get more and more big time players, all that stuff. Do you feel like there's even more with all this stuff happening or less, I guess?
So here's what you see, right? Like this will resonate with you. There are a lot of hires being made in football where even at the FCS level, where kind of a splash hire, and there is this, there is institutional money and there is booster money and there's an NIL pool. And that's what the hire is made to do, is to go out, take advantage of this money, buy a football team and make them incredible, right? And so for all the credit that Kirk Cignetti got, right? Like,
yeah,
he came from James Madison, which is the best funded school in that league. And when they were FCS, they were the best funded school in the FCS. And then you know, he brought players with him, and then he got Mark Cuban's money and was able to go and buy this amazing team and accomplish this amazing thing. Like, no shade at all to his coaching and the job he accomplished. But yeah, that kind of pressure is different than mine, where I said UNC you know, is not competitive from a resource standpoint. I've done this before and became Big Sky champions. I know how to do this. It's going to take recruiting high school kids and developing them. That might take longer than is comfortable for us. And so, and you've seen me kind of in my some dark moments, you know, where we had chances to win early and maybe didn't pull out a win or something like that. And just the margin for error was so small. And that's what I hope we've grown. And we're going to see the fruits of this year is, you know, I think we have a good football team that can block and tackle at a rate that we have not been able to do in the past. And so hopefully it's not coming down to, you know, just this razor thin margin of error to win, and we have a chance to win games at multiple points during a game.
Well, and we've talked about this too. Like, there's pressure always, but at UNC, you know, there I think there is a belief in you and this system and this plan that they're going to give it the time needed. I mean, like we talked about last week, this program just got lights, you know, and it took a long time to get there, but this program just got lights. So I do feel like there's this understanding going on at UNC of, like, we're not operating like a lot of schools do throughout the country. So they're also, that being said, there also needs to be a better understanding, which I think more schools need to adopt this, of giving a coach more time to really lay out that plan, because 1 year doesn't do anything. That first year you were here, you talked about it, like, we're not asking guys to leave. We're not begging guys to stay. We're just trying to figure out who we got. Oh, we got culture stuff going on too. So the X's and O's is almost way down the line. The next year, okay, we're starting to develop guys. We're getting some of our guys in. We're still kind of mixing with guys that kind of want to be here that kind of don't. And then that third year, okay, now we're starting to, as we've talked about, like, you feel like guys are taking more ownership of this program and leadership. So that's the luxury that I do like what we see with the University of Northern Colorado. They're certainly going to give that time for a coach to really develop when we're in a day and age where everything changes so rapidly.
Well, yeah, at least behind closed doors, it would be absurd for UNC not to pour long-term belief into the plan, because that's literally why they hired me. Like, yeah. A lot of these coaches now, is upset, like even the other D1 schools in this state, they've kind of positioned themselves and sold transfer portal as, in fact, Coach Prime was like, I think he was out in front. He was leading the world in terms of players in, players out every year in terms of transfer portal. Well, to me, that screams quick fix. To me, that screams win right away. If we're gonna exit everybody and then bring in upperclassmen, you're not a player development model. Like, obviously, you want to develop every moment that a kid's on campus. You want to develop them, and I'm sure, you know, Boulder's coaches are fantastic at that, and CSU's whatever. But it's not a year to year, long term development of a player where you're hoping to get to the point where you've got 3, 4, 5 year players on your roster.
Yeah, I always go back to, especially when I look at what's going on with Boulder, when John Elway said during the Peyton Manning runs, hey, we're not worried about plan E or plan B, we're focused on plan A. Well, they won a Super Bowl, but there was no plan B, so after the Super Bowl, the bottom fell out. And so some of these schools are like, hey, we are going all in on the popularity, let's go with a Coach Prime type guy, and let's see if we can get the biggest recruits. We got a 5-year window here, because if we don't win those big time recruits, the Coach Prime thing is now going to be is going to be lost on them, because they're not winning, they're not successful. So a lot of these schools we're seeing, they're like, hey, we're going all in with this popular coach. We're going to spend a lot of money here. We've got a lot in NIL. It better work. But the other process is, we're going to take our time. We're going to slow build this thing and set this real foundation, because if Coach Prime leaves today, what's the foundation in Boulder? If you leave today, I can honestly say you have built started to build a foundation at the University of Northern Colorado where people might come here. Obviously, I know they're coming here for you, but then they're seeing what could be possible here with this approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think The most interesting interview to kind of like speak to that would be talking to the high school coaches around the state. There's a complete understanding of the way UNC is trying to do it.
Yeah.
And the other schools in the state, whether that be the RMAC or CSU or Boulder. But UNC, I think it's very clear to the high school coaches in this state what UNC, how we're trying to build this thing. And obviously they're in favor because
helps
it's
them.
Opportunities yeah. for their players.
Sure.
And so we're getting to the point now where, you know, we're actually like we have some other high school coaches that are pushing high school coaches like, why aren't you taking your team to summer camp at UNC? You know, so-and-so hasn't recruited a player from your school for 26 years. And UNC's got 60 Colorado players on the roster. Like we're literally in every school in the state year round.
Yeah. And it's powerful. It's huge. Yeah. With all this, again, we're talking about the pressures. We're talking about how you're building this program. There's constantly, you know, different pressures, different changes coming down. We're seeing it. You talked about Sarkisian and one of his ideas as far as the because we're talking about college football playoff expansion, yeah. which all these conversations will bleed over to the University of Northern Colorado. Yeah. We just will see that. I mean, so you got Sarkisian saying, dude, we don't need to put 24 in. We need to have like a playoff within our conference to get into a 4-team playoff. You've got college basketball. We already saw the addition to the NCAA tournament. That's happening. They're proposing, hey, let's get rid of the halves and go four quarters instead. We saw a proposal for the Lane Kiffin rule, potentially, of where let's get rid of tampering. So the whole LSU talking to Lane Kiffin while Ole Miss is still playing football yeah. and still has games on the schedule is going to be illegal, I guess. So we have all this stuff going on, and that's why I've always looked at you and what you're doing with the program. Like, you just put your head down and you go. You got all these other things like saying, no, we got to have that new shiny thing. We got to have that new yeah. shiny thing. Oh, wait, that's not shiny anymore. Where's the next thing? Yeah. And so that's why I really admire your approach.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the encouragement. You know, we're definitely paying attention to every one of these rule changes and all of the discussions that are going on in college football. I also have a tremendous team. Rachel Walton on our staff, she's the senior women's administrator and also our directs our compliance office, oversees our compliance office. And so she's super on top of that. And with her connections, she can be several weeks or even months ahead of some of the coming legislation. We're paying attention to all that, but I think the key for us is going to continue to be, okay, what fits us at UNC? Like, you would never run a business, like the laws of the land, the laws of commerce, those opportunities change all the time too in America, right? But you don't see businesses chasing each other and trying to outdo each other in their business model. Like, when you have all that risk on the line, you kind of look at your opportunity in business and then you try to make the best plan for your business, right? And mm-hmm. and that's how I try to run it at UNC, is what fits us. And it's certainly not going to be going out and mining the transfer portal I love to read Sarkisian stuff, because if you could go back in a time machine and we didn't have phone cameras and stuff like that back then, but you know, Sark and I were seniors together at BYU, spent a lot of time socially hanging out, you know, talking about all things other than football at times. Mm. If we could have peered out into the future at that time, we both know we wanted to be coaches, right? Like, take football as far as it can go as a player and then become a coach. But look at him now, like, he's on his third head coaching job. He's only been at schools that have won a national championship. He's only been at the very best resource schools in the country, right? I'm trying to win a second championship at a place that has never won
yeah.
a championship. Like, SUU had never won a championship in Division I history. UNC has never won a championship in the Division I history, right? They've never even had a winning record in the Big Sky Conference. So the things I'm trying to accomplish versus what he's trying to accomplish are so radically different. And most of the time when I kind of read or watch like his quotes or something like that, I'm like, yeah, this has nothing to do with me. But he was making a lot of sense. He's like, why are we trying to get to a 2014 playoff? Why doesn't each league have its own playoff? Keep the revenue. If the SEC wants big revenue, they'll have the biggest playoff revenue and then play into a smaller playoff.
I think that
will get rid of the committee.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up too, the idea of doing something like that. where even the winner of the FCS side of things potentially could get in. Because I think there's a lot of people that look at the FCS champion and say, yeah, I'd put him up against maybe not the Alabamas of the world and Ohio States, but could they beat some of these middle to top tier type teams on any given Saturday? There's a shot. I think there's a shot, with especially the way some of these teams play.
Yeah, I think it's just as I think one of the cool things about the NCAA basketball tournament is, like, you have your pool or whatever, and maybe you just kind of you have a draw and you end up with Wisconsin Green Bay and they're playing against Kentucky or Duke or something like that. That's exciting to see.
Yeah.
And obviously football is such a more resource intensive sport. And I don't know how often the FCS national champion would knock somebody off
in a playoff
early round. But who cares? We're still talking about App State over Michigan.
Yeah.
And that game was worth playing, even though App State, you know, went on to lose several other games against big-time schools. And FCS programs continue to lose for the one time when it happens. I think it's well worth it. And you know, the kids love it.
Yeah, I think it's because I've always liked the idea of just seats at the table, and I'm always thrown, you know, hey, Bray, this isn't basketball. You know, basketball, you can, it's all, you know, you could see a UNC upset a Texas Tech. I mean, UNC played Texas Tech actually pretty well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Without, I think UNC didn't have Quinn Dinker in that game. You could see that because all it takes is one dude to get really hot. And I love that and I appreciate that. But at the same time, it would be I think it would be fascinating to see something like what Sarkisian's talking about. And like you and I talked about off the air, like what happens if you got all these conferences have their own little mini playoff, and then you have a 4-team, 5-team, 6-team, whatever it is, but you also have like this wild card of the FCS champ gets in too. It is, to me, that's fascinating. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it, but there's a lot of people in this country that have a lot of respect for those FCS teams, and especially those teams that go on and win and put together great football teams. Because we always have that argument when we watch an FCS champion and we go, how many teams you think they could beat at the FBS level? And I don't think it's not surprising to hear a lot of people say and put that belief in those champions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe make the FCS team work through the G5 champion or something like that first.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a good story, but the point is, there's a lot of discussion, you know, going on, and I think it's all great discussion. And at the same time, you know, when I report to work or get back to my thoughts, it's really got to be about UNC, and that stuff's not super pertinent right now.
Well, and I want to talk about UNC too, because this is kind of an interesting time for the Bears at this stage. It's May 13th as we record this. You know, the guys we're taking a little bit of a break here before everybody comes back on June 3rd, I believe, Coach.
That's right.
So what does this look like, this time frame from May 13th to June 3rd for the players?
The NCAA calls it student-athlete discretionary. I call it sad.
That's pretty good.
Because I am I love that they get this month off, you know, and they need it.
Can you talk to him, though? Like, you can shoot text to him?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so yeah. Like, this is, you can give him a call and say, hey, what are you doing, man? You keeping up with your lifting and all that stuff?
Yeah, we you know, encourage them like that. But also, I think it is important that they get time and that they feel trust from us. And we have that type of team now, you
sure.
know? So I feel good about that. You know, it's part tongue-in-cheek when I say student-athlete discretionary time is a sad time. It really is. It's a little more of a stressful time for me because I worry about, you know, guys getting injured or, you know, guys getting away from the program and not having resources. I've just seen that over the years, not just here, but everywhere, where, you know, you got some guys that take advantage of the month of May and they come back 8-12 pounds heavier, and they've just been like grinding it out kind of on their own. And there's power in that training on your own, because sometimes guys can push themselves to a new level doing that. And then other guys, like, you know, just at a young age, sometimes you don't realize how quickly you can get out of shape, how quickly you can lose your gains.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've had guys get in from motorcycle to skiing accidents to pick up basketball. Like, even a relatively minor injury can set you back for the whole summer. And if you're out for the summer, you're essentially out of the conversation for the season. You know, it's really difficult to come back from something like that. So it's just a critical time in these guys' lives, and I'm invested in their lives.
When you say stressed, because I used to say this about the NFL. I the same thing counts for college football at this stage. Like, I bet coaches, athletic directors, whatever, want to put like a dome around their guys where it's like, hey, be cool and relax, have some time away, but don't do anything crazy, you know, whatever that might be. Even something as innocent and legal as getting on a motorcycle, but being a little silly with it. Get around your guys, you know, your old friends from high school and everything, who knows. But when you say stressful, like, well, how much stress are we talking, like, from 1 to 10? What's that stress level like from May 13th to June 3rd?
In that regard, it's a 10, right? Because, like, I've been doing it long enough and will continue to do it to the point where, you know, so we have 100 and – we only have 105 on our roster, but there's about 125 guys who are either on our roster or in our bullpen or in our recruiting pool, something like that, out on missions. And if you take the 125 – let's say the chances of having a relatively minor but serious enough injury to affect their summer training. Let's say it's 1 in 500. Well, that's only 4 years for me. That in every 4 years, I'm gonna have to look a guy in the face and kind of deal with his disappointment and have to talk them through. Hey, you know, yeah, don't worry. We have a long term plan for you. This season's, you know, maybe not gonna be what you thought it would be. And that's super stressful. That's a 10 out of 10 because I just know if it doesn't happen this year, it'll happen next year. There are too many numbers in the sport of football for you not to lose guys. It's just like the injury thing. Like, the injury thing is going to happen in the sport of football.
When you talk to them after you guys you're getting ready to take a break and you're talking to the team, because I know last week we talked about, hey, get through spring football. A lot of that is literally what it sounds like, just get through it. We don't want guys breaking legs and tearing ACLs in spring that cost them next season. How much of that conversation you're having with the team is like, guys, we just busted our tail to stay healthy, to stay cool. Don't go screw it up. You know, lift weights, do the things, but be safe about everything you're doing. How much of that, you know, what's that conversation like?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the... I'm going to go coach speak right here, but you know, the old control the controllables. Yeah. So there are a lot of things you control. Like, you're going to seriously diminish your chances of having some type of injury or accident if you stay away from drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. You're going to seriously diminish your chances of some type of accident or injury if you are home by midnight every night. And every hour you can be home before that, even better, right? So you control the controllables, and then, you know, yeah, you've heard me say this to the players, and I guess it's a podcast, so I kind of say this word, which is like a B-rated word, but like, don't hang out in toilets and wonder why you're getting shit on.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, that's my main message.
Very well
to these
said.
Guys.
I like that. That should be a t-shirt, actually.
So, and they get that, you know, and yet, you know, there's a lot of... a lot of decision making at this time in these guys' lives where they're kind of figuring out who they are, and sometimes they need to live it and make poor decisions and suffer consequences.
You say the stress level is still high, it's still at a 10, but I have to imagine that's changed, even though it's still high, because that's just the nature of the job. But again, you talk about the trust factor you have with this team. You know, we discussed your first year, it's like, I'm just getting to know everybody here. Leaders that I think are leaders, maybe they're not leaders. Maybe they're not doing the right things. But that has to have changed quite a bit from year one to where we sit now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is a different football team, right? Like, the trust level in terms of the team that's going to come back, it's off the charts different. I don't have – my stress level is not a 10 out of 10 on whether I'm going to get a competitive, motivated football team that reports back on June 3rd. I already know that. It's the guy that gets left behind because he didn't quite, you know, put two and two together, didn't quite keep the training up, or the guy that gets injured making a bad decision or otherwise just having an accident, right? It's just – that's – you know, it's kind of like a – it's like a mental – illness that I have, or maybe it's just a sheer numbers thing. But if you truly care about the experience of over 100 people, you know, you're going to have a lot of crap come across your desk. And that's kind of, I just think that's the position that I'm in. If I, in my years where I was a position coach and I had, you know, 13 linebackers or something like that, that's a completely different, you know, type of odds mm-hmm. where you're like, yeah, you got a good chance to get your 13 guys back at the end of May and in good health and you stay in touch with them all. But there's no way that I can like legitimately stay in touch with 125 kids without sounding pretty cookie cutter in my phone call, you know?
Is there, you just mentioned the amount of kids, the amount of guys you have to worry about, have to think about. Are there guys like 10 of them at the top of your brain where you're like, man, I really hope that guy does what he needs to do because he's right there.
Totally.
Or you know, I really, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, is that, there's like a list of dudes in that brain of yours?
We have, I think I've alluded to this before, twice a week we have a staff meeting that's personnel oriented. And at one time it's a little more kind of like the health side, strength conditioning, training room, and mental health. And we go through the whole roster. And then there's another time where it's more like academic and then on-field progress. And every position coach goes through every guy on the roster, you know, and I want my whole staff to be there. And sometimes I have to tell them, hey, guys, like, you know what I mean? Put your phone down unless you're doing work. Like, I have to treat them like college students at times mm-hmm. because it can be like if you lose the track of what we're trying to accomplish there, it can be like, hey, I'm the, you know, whatever, I'm the linebacker coach. Why am I listening to the offensive line coach go through his part of the roster? Well, so I'll re-explain it. Fellas, you never know the difference you're going to make. You might be just sitting on the bus next to a kid and you know something's going on in his life and you make the comment and it's not from the position coach. It's from the other side of the ball. You pass a guy in the hallway. You could make the difference in the kid's life. And we all have had that experience. So my guys, like, they're great coaches. They get that. They remember a high school coach, maybe from another sport, right? Like, I can remember I didn't play high school basketball, but the high school basketball coach once gave me a compliment, you know, when I was in high school. And it kind of changed the way I saw myself as a student athlete, you know. And so I want to be prepared for that. But back to your question, we all 100% know who the high-risk guys are and who the lower-risk guys are.
Do you – now, so like I'm a worrier. I've been like that forever. So I think about this radio station all the time. So I'm thinking – I haven't checked in with this person in a while. I want to, it randomly pops in my brain. And then it's just like, hey, how you doing? Is it like that or is it more organized? Like sometimes there's just a guy that's on your brain and you're like, haven't heard from him in a while. Hope everything's okay. I'm going to reach out right now.
It's both. I believe in premonition. I believe there are energies out there.
They pop in your brain for a reason.
Or you have dream about a guy or something like that. Coincidences, but... And maybe it's just superstition, but like I'm living that world. So I'm definitely checking up on those guys. I'm checking in with the position coaches. We do things dramatically different here. You know, I talked about Lysa Tuiaki joining our staff.
Yes.
He's been
awesome.
A lot of great places, you know, Utah, Oregon State, Utah State, BYU's coached a lot of different places. We actually do things quite a bit different here. If our players are on campus, we're here. So around the country, I think maybe every other school in the country, the coaches take July off. It's just kind of a college football thing. You get July off. And so when we call him E, but his name is Elisa, but when Coach Tuiaki first got here, he was telling me the other day that his wife Viola, and we're like family, so I hope Viola would know where I'm coming from on this, but she was like, they're going through the schedule together, and he was telling her, like, yeah, we don't have July off, you know. And she's like, you don't have July off? And then he's explaining to her, like, no, but, like, actually, this is, like, way better. I'm actually have probably more time off, but just at appropriate times when the players aren't here.
Yeah.
And then so she started to get excited about that, you know. But my wife, his wife, all the wives, all the coaches, they always expect that you just take July off. Well, to me— July is a critical time. Our players are on campus. They're training. We have access to them. And I want to be working on football and supporting these kids.
How long of, like, okay, July.
Yeah.
Are you guys putting in the full day during July? Or is it more of just, hey, we're making our presence felt. We're talking to guys.
Yeah.
And then we're cutting out a little early.
I'm glad you asked that question because I should be clear. It's for every college football coach around the country. It is difficult for this not to be a 24/7, 365 job.
Yeah.
So it's really about working remote versus working on campus. And during that July month, really the whole summer, once the guys report back in June, we start our first lift at 6 a.m. We have what we call a practice. It's no pads or anything like that, but we have either a practice or a run and a lift four times a week, 8 hours total per week. And there are some, there's some video sessions in there too. So as coaches, we've got to study and prepare the classroom session, the video session. And so that could vary from coach to coach, or if the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator is moving a little more quickly, or if it's a new install that they need to discuss more. But I would say on average, our coaches are working kind of like from 6 a.m. to you know, noon or shortly after that, taking off an early afternoon. Sure. through the summer months.
Okay.
And rather than, there's a lot of coaches that are like, they're going to bring in their staff and they're going to grind for like 12 hours a day for a few days. And then, you know, hey, you get all of July off. And so like, I think our coaches just have to kind of get into the system of the way we do it here. And to me, it's just player centric. It's not about some kind of nebulous romantic idea of taking July off.
Okay, I got an interesting question for you, because as, again, sports radio host, yeah, guy, you were talking about July. We're talking about, hey, we're still working, we're still grinding. There are times when football season wraps up, I'll say this on the air, I'm kind of, all right, I'm footballed out. I'm ready, yeah, to move on to basketball. All right, Nuggets got knocked out in the playoffs the first round. I am now hockey guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm done with basketball for a while. Do you ever get footballed out?
No, I don't get footballed out. I do get, there's a time when it's time for, like, the seniors have kind of written their story.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope that goes all the way through the final playoff game, you know, all the way to the national championship. But as you feel a team lose hope or belief, as coaches, we transfer a lot of that hope and belief, okay, into the junior and the sophomore class and the recruiting class. Mm-hmm. And so you're ready to move on. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, we pour everything we can into the team. And the team first is the seniors and those who have put in the most years and the most time with us. And, you know, the coaches, no coach that I know is ever going to be kind of the first to lose hope. Like, that's just, you're in it.
You're not in it. You're not in that position if you are.
You're in it for them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is not like, we're not working a regular job and showing up for practice and like reliving our youth through these kids. Like, we are in it for them. Like, we're living for their successes. And if you can feel them lose a little hope and you try to pick them up and they're not doing it, then it's like, okay. And that was the really cool thing. And the big breakthrough for us last year is, even though we had kind of a rough stretch there, injuries, ranked teams, we lost several games in a row, that team never lost hope. That team continued to fight and then, you know, won the final game at home and, you know, kind of ended on a high note. And, you know, it's all about the success of the day a lot of times. And if you wrote that story at the beginning of the season, you might say, oh, that's disappointing. But just, where do you find yourself today? You know, mm-hmm, I think it's a good life lesson for the players too. It's like, it's not all going to be roses. There are going to be setbacks in life. Where do you find yourself today? Do you get up early in the morning? Do you shower up? Do you get dressed? And do you go attack the day? And I felt like that our team did that last year. And it was such a big springboard to the offseason.
No question. Most wins in like, what was it, 10 years or so for this program?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a huge stepping stone. How about that? I just asked a Division I head football coach if he ever gets footballed out. You know,
footballed
I
out.
Never thought I would do that, coach.
The
but here we are.
The aspect of the job,
yeah,
is something that's always appealed to me. Like, and just about the time where I'm really burnt out on recruiting and negotiating and interviewing players and adding them and getting a yes or a no, like, I get real excited about spring ball.
Because it changes.
Yeah.
Like, the job, I think I asked you that in an early podcast. Like, what primarily are your, what's your biggest focus of all the things you do? And you're like, well, it changes.
Changes.
And that's the beauty of it. I can get really excited once the season's done about, okay, start anew. Let's start, you know, we got recruiting. We're still finishing that up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start, you know, developing what the roster looks like next year. And then you get tired of that, and it's spring football, and then you get tired of that, and it's time to go to this kind of mini break, as we talked about. And then before we know it, the regular season starts up, and it's back to game week type preparation. So you're right. This, especially football, there's just so many aspects of it that it's hard to get for a guy that loves it. It's hard to get footballed out.
Yeah, even this time of year when like the players are gone, there is a football emphasis right now this time of year. Even if that's me spending some time away from the office, like I can't get football off my mind. And so like just yesterday, in fact, I was fertilizing, and I had some asparagus that has gone to seed and like laid over. And I actually thought about you and the podcast in that moment because nice. I'm taking care of it. Like I got to keep this asparagus patch like on point because this represents the team. Like yep. It's out there in the public now, right? I can't be having somebody stop by the house and seeing my asparagus gone to seed laid over, right? So I was like manually removing these seeds and fertilizing it, putting coffee grounds on it. Like, you know, it is football, you know, 24/7, 365. And there just is a little different emphasis from week to week. And that's that was the original genesis of Football 52, oh, yeah. right? Sure. Is like, let's give people an inside look at what's going on right now. So I'm going straight from this podcast to a fundraising event for the community. Frontier House is a really cool organization in this community. And so that's part of this time of year too. There are a lot of fundraisers going on. There's a lot of community events going on. And UNC football wants to be a part of all the people that help and support us as well.
Well, and we've seen that in the community too. It never goes away. The football stuff never goes away. It just kind of changes and evolves throughout the season. So that's why this podcast is so much fun. Coach, next week, I know we're running out of time, but I want to talk about the schedule.
A very exciting schedule. I can't wait to get into that with you.
Well, and I know we're working on some ideas potentially. Because I don't know what that first game looks like just yet, but we know they're lights. We know they're coming. Yeah. So I want to get into, is that out there in the world? Do we know exactly the schedule yet? Can we talk about it for 5 seconds here?
The opponents we have not set the game times.
We haven't set the game times yet. Yeah. When do we anticipate that happening?
That is totally a John Kitzman question. And I'm sure he's worked with Darren Dunn on that. And maybe our opponents in the Big Sky and ESPN.
I've heard rumors, and I'm not going to do this to you right now, but I've just heard rumors.
You can say whatever you want.
Well, the rumors I've heard are from people that probably say don't spread rumors. So I don't want to ask you yet.
You work for KFK. I work for UNC.
There's just all I'm saying is pay attention to that Weber State game. First game of the season, and I'll ask you later. Like, there might be something cool.
There is going to be something cool.
Yeah, there's
going
to be something cool.
There's no doubt about it. It's that is going to be a game changer for
I just don't even want to ask UNC it because I don't want to get into because John will kill me if
and
I even.
UNC and Greeley.
Yeah, you, I mean, yeah.
This if is, you can just hold on for 1 week.
Okay, let me hold on because I feel like if even I ask it, John's going to be like, what the hell, man? It's not that I even know anything.
This is so much better. This mysteriousness that you're putting out there is so much better than actually making an announcement prematurely. So I know John will appreciate that. Darren will appreciate that.
This is the art of the tease. And I try to do this on the whole show, but you've met my producer. You've met him. He doesn't allow me to do tease because I'll say, which quarterback is going to be out for the season? And he'll interrupt and he'll say the person's name, and I'm like, killed the tease. No reason for you to tune in coming up next, but we're taking a break anyway. At least we are practicing the art of the tease here. So we'll find out what that is next week.
You're talking about Micah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I'm just haven't been around him and heard some of the interactions. I'm wondering, is there a fan club out there? Is there a subset of your listeners? They're just listening for him.
100%.
Like he brings a little something. Unusual.
He's supposed to be a board op. He's not a producer. Yeah, he doesn't produce the show. He doesn't like set up the guests or anything. He's not a co-host, but yet he stumbled one day and called himself a co-host on the show. And I corrected him and, of course, dressed him down like I should have. And then suddenly there's text blowing up now, hashtag Micah co-host.
Yeah.
So that's become my life and that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's it adds something unique and special to the show.
Yes.
And I the first time I heard that and participated in it, I was like, huh.
Oh, yeah.
What's this guy's role?
You thought we were like, there was something weird. Like, we were hated each other. And
there was that.
Yeah. We do hate each other.
You know, his timing, his insight, or you know, on occasion, lack thereof, like whatever it is, it adds something. Mm-hmm. And the way that you riff on that and allow that.
A lot of that,
And the way that he's like, I mean, he's Teflon, man. Like,
oh yeah,
he's tougher than a $2 steak. Like, I've heard you put him down, and he comes right back. Like, yeah.
He does. And there's times like, should I talk to him after the? Nah, he'll be fine. Yeah. You know, but he's not here today, so I have no idea where he is. But we'll figure that out, Coach. I always love doing these podcasts, man. And yes, I am going to ask you. Maybe think about it, because I'm going to ask you about a rumor I heard. Next week.
Next week. Okay.
Next week.
Good.
All right. Football 52. Find us on wherever you're listening, you have it there. But you can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Football 52 is brought to you by Mark Larson, State Farm Insurance.
This is head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb, and I want to tell you about my friend, Mark Larson, with State Farm Insurance. Mark grew up in Greeley and is always supporting the Bears and our wonderful community. When it comes to local, Mark gets it. A State Farm agent since 1982, Mark's passion is to help educate individuals about their insurance need and structuring a personal price plan on home and auto insurance. You want to work with the best? Then call Mark today at 356-8700 or visit his website, marklarsoninsurance.com.